Good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. and you're tuned to your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka. And joining me in the studio and on the phone, we have some folks to discuss the Banff Mountain Film Festival, which is coming up this Friday. On the phone, Shauna Strain is with Banff. Welcome to Morning Edition, Shauna.
Hello there. It's
Hello.
Great to be here.
You're wonderful. It's great to have you here. In the studio, we have Cindy Edwards and Kylene Fremling from the Haim Center. Let's talk about Banff. That's coming up this Friday. And Cindy, this is exciting because it's on weekend rather than in the middle of the week.
It is. It's a miracle. We're so excited. A lot of times, you know, at night, people are like, oh, it's getting late here in Sitka. But this week, I mean, this year, we don't care because it's a Friday night. You can stay the whole time and you can sleep in the next morning. So it's a date night. We're very excited.
Well, talk a little bit, if you can, about this film festival and how long it's been running in Sitka. How many years has it come here to Sitka?
Yeah, Shauna, you might help us out with that, actually, how long it's been coming here to Sitka. The Haim Center has been helping out with it for the last 3 years. And but the group is a really broad spectrum group from our town. But we've been helping out with 3 years. But, gosh, I'm not sure how long it was happening before that. Do you know, Shauna?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I just looked it up.
Yay!
The first time we visited Sitka was in 2003.
All right.
And Shauna, this is a film festival that, of course, visits many other places than Sitka. Can you talk about what Banff actually is and where it goes?
I sure can. Well, this year for us in Banff was really exciting because it was our 40th anniversary. So, since we first started as a small local event in Banff, we now visit over 40 different countries.
And what kind of films are shown?
Mostly the films have to do with outdoor adventures. But you'll also see some films that have more of an environmental theme or a cultural theme. Or you'll see films that blend all of these topics together.
Now, can you talk a bit about where it started? And did you originally envision that you'd be traveling So internationally with this film festival?
I don't think they ever envisioned they'd be traveling internationally when they started. In Banff, the November season is typically the season between summer hiking and climbing and the start of our ski season. So in those gray days, the local community put together a film festival really meant to be just for the Banff community to help them bridge that gap between their sports seasons. And I don't think they ever envisioned that that first show would be as popular as it was. The very first show, they sold out. Last night, they moved to a bigger venue on our campus. And very quickly, audience members started suggesting that we take the film out on the road and visit other communities, because many people were traveling here to try to be part of our festival. So that was the grassroots of the tour. And it was roughly probably in 1985 that we went on the road for the first time. And we visited five locations in Canada, partnering with the Alpine Club of Canada.
And
so, anyway, since then, the popularity has continued to grow. Yeah.
And Sitka is one of an enthusiastic follower of the film festival. I'm going to ask Kylene, How does this work? Is there an individual or a committee that works on bringing the festival here, and how do you decide which films to show?
Yeah, so we have an entire committee that comes together, and this year our committee is kind of a wide range of people as far as ages, backgrounds, all sorts of stuff. And then we look at the list of films that Banff selects, and we kind of go over the reviews and what other venues have said about the films, and we're trying to get a good mix of films as far as like good cultural pieces or like really exciting, cool, like ski films with really awesome adventure shots. And so everyone kind of goes home, reviews the list, and then comes back and we all kind of discuss and see like, oh yes, we really love this film, or oh no, let's not put that one in there, that's not for Sitka. And yeah, I think we ended up with a lot of great films this year.
How many films?
I think I think we're going to have maybe between 8 and 10 films.
8 and 10?
Yeah, they range in length. Some of them are shorter films. I think our shortest film this year is 2 minutes. It's a really funny one, though, so I'm looking forward to people seeing that. And then they can go up to 46 minutes, too.
Well, a question for the three of you. Do you have a favorite film that's going to be showing in Sitka? And if so, can you give a little preview?
Sure, I can do that. I think one that Sitkins will like is one called Denali, and it's a story about a guy and his dog. It's kind of a tribute to his best friend. And with as much as Sitkins love their animals here, I think people are going to really love that one. It's a really, like, heart-wrenching, great story.
And isn't that one from the dog's perspective?
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually told from the dog's perspective. So kind of interesting little twist there. Yeah.
Cindy, do you have a fave?
You know, I am actually in love with all of them, I have to say. So,
Very diplomatic.
I do. I think they all just bring an element. And because they've all gone through that vetting system at the Banff event in November that Sean is talking about, they're all winners. You know, it just, you can't go wrong.
Can you choose another one you could preview? No? Okay, Shauna, how about you?
Okay, I'd love to do this. Although I have to admit, I'm like Cindy. It is really hard to pick your favorite film because I bet you as you watch the show, each film will be your next favorite film. But the one I'll highlight is called Operation Moffat. And this film was recognized by our jury and given a special jury mention. It's quite special, and then it takes us across the pond to the UK. And you'll meet two delightful filmmakers, Claire Carter and Jen Randall, and you do see them in the film. What they've done is a profile of this amazing woman named Gwen Moffat. And when we first meet Gwen in the film, she's 90 and a half years old, and through the course of the film, she turns 91. And she is Britain's first female mountain guide. And this woman is so passionate about mountains. And you'll see that she still has this incredible, vibrant energy. And through this story, Claire Carter is in love with Gwen Moffat. She's been a mentor of her for a long time. So that story also unfolds. We meet Gwen, but we also get to watch Claire trying to follow her hero in her footsteps. And the two of them, two filmmakers, Jen Randall and Claire Carter, head off on these great, what they call Gwen ventures, where they try to live or recreate things that Gwen has done in her lifetime in the same style that she did them at the time when she was doing them. So it's just a really magical little film, and I think you'll really, really enjoy it.
And I think many Sitkins will be able to relate that story to similar individuals who have lived in Sitka. I have a few names floating around in my head right now. Shauna, so these films go through a vetting process. About how many are submitted every year?
So the festival is a film competition, and last year we received 350 films into the competition. That list of films is watched by a whole bunch of people locally in Banff who vote on them and take them down to 89 finalists. And that's what we show over our 10-day festival. From that list, based on what we learn from the people watching films at the festival, our jury members, tour hosts, different locations who join us at festival, we take that list down to the 30 most favorite films to tour. So what we've been picking, the list we've been picking from for the films that will be shown in Sitka are those 30 films.
Okay, and then Sitkins, a committee of Sitkins, have chosen a number. Mm-hmm.
And another very important person in that process is you will all be meeting Michelle DeCamp, who's absolutely delightful. Michelle has been on tour with the films since we launched this past November. She's been in many different communities, and she's been advising the committee in Sitka on what she's seen in other communities and how the films combine well and what are the real favorites and stuff. So she's looking at your community and your interests there and then really trying to match our film program to what works well for Sitka.
I'm providing a broader context for Sitka.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Cindy and Kylene, give us the nuts and bolts about Friday. When and where should people show up? Where can they get tickets?
Well, they should buy their tickets in advance, first of all. They're at Old Harbor Books, and hooray for Old Harbor Books for doing that great service to our community of selling tickets for all these events. So run down there and give them a hug and buy your ticket at Old Harbor Books, or you can come to the Hame Center and buy them there.
The show will be this Friday night at 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center.
Great. Well, we are just about out of time. Any parting thoughts for any of our guests?
Just looking forward to Friday night, and hopefully you'll get your ticket ahead of time so you can get in the door and get ready. Show starts at 7, and I think it's just going to be a splendid evening of hurrah.
Yeah, I'm really excited for everyone in Sitka here to see these films that we've been picking out. I think everyone's going to really love the show.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us.
I'd just like to say, just in parting, that one day I hope I can make it to Sitka, but it's been really nice joining you by phone. So at least that's my first step to getting there.
It's nice speaking with you, Shauna. We've been speaking with Shauna Strain from Banff Mountain Film Festival, also Kylene Fremling and Cindy Edwards from the Hame Center.
Emily, did you know that there are three people in Sitka who are demographically and temperamentally compatible to be your soulmate?
Rob, that's ridiculous.
I have the data right here. This is science.
Well, it's a dorky kind of science.
Yes, it's dorky, but what is love anyway?
What is love?
Find out this Sunday, Valentine's Day, when we play a game we call
Meet the Love Dorks.
4 p.m. this Sunday, February 14th on Raven Radio. We spoke in unison. How cool is that?
I'm kind of dorky, actually.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday, the 10th of February, 2016. It's the birthday of the playwright and poet Bertolt Brecht, born in Augsburg, Germany, 1898. Bertolt Brecht, a Marxist who regarded his plays as social experiments, did not want the audience to become emotionally involved with the story, rather to acknowledge the stage as a stage and the actors as actors and not as real people. With Hitler's rise to power in 1933, Brecht left Germany, moved to Denmark, then Sweden, Finland, journeyed across Russia, settled in Hollywood in 1941. As in Germany, his books were burned and his citizenship was withdrawn. It's the birthday of Boris Pasternak, born in Moscow, 1890. Did not write for many years in the 30s and early 40s because of his fear of censorship under the government of Joseph Stalin. And then around 1945 began to work in secret on his masterpiece, Dr. Zhivago. Finished it in 1955, smuggled it out of the Soviet Union. It was published in Italy, became an international bestseller, an epic novel about more than 60 characters through the first half of 20th century Russia. And it's the birthday of the Norwegian journalist Astny Seierstad, born in Oslo, 1970, best known for The Bookseller of Kabul, which came out in 2003, was a big bestseller. Astny Seierstad, who after college in Norway went to China to study Chinese, to Berlin to learn German, Moscow to work for a news agency, Belgrade to live in an artist's colony, also lived in Mexico, France, Italy. She became fluent in five languages and okay, as she puts it, in four more. And after 9/11, she spent weeks in rural parts of Afghanistan with the commandos of the Northern Alliance, traveling in military vehicles, sleeping on stone floors and in mud huts. She rode into Kabul with the Northern Alliance in November 2001 and found a bookstore, a place owned by an elegant, gray-haired Afghan man, well-educated, who loved to talk about politics and writing. The man was passionate about books. He'd hid them from the Taliban. He'd gone to prison. He invited her to a meal with his family, and she decided to write a book about them. She lived with them for 3 months, and the book she wrote, The Bookseller of Kabul, was a huge success, except with the bookseller himself, who was not happy about the way he'd been portrayed, and he flew to Norway to denounce her and wrote his own book called Once Upon a Time, There Was a Bookseller in Kabul, about how a Norwegian troll, visits Afghanistan and abuses his family's hospitality. Here's a poem for today by William Blake, Nurse's Song. When the voices of children are heard on the green and laughing is heard on the hill, my heart is at rest within my breast and everything else is still. Then come home, my children, the sun has gone down and the dews of night arise. Come, come, leave off play and let us away till the morning appears in the skies. No, no, let us play, for it is yet day, and we cannot go to sleep. Besides, in the sky the little birds fly, and the hills are all covered with sheep. Well, well, go and play till the light fades away, and then go home to bed. The little ones leaped and shouted and laughed, and all the hills echoed. William Blake, Nurse's Song. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Now available on iOS devices. Subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Lumosity.com, brain training developed by scientists to challenge memory and problem solving through online games, Lumosity.com. Engineered by Noah Smith, produced by Joy Biles. Be well. Do good work and keep in touch.
Support for this program comes from the Law Office of Brandon C. Marks, a general practice firm assisting clients throughout Southeast Alaska in the areas of real property, family law, civil, and criminal disputes. The Law Office of Brandon C. Marks. Information available at 747-7100 or sitkalawyer.com.
This is A Matter of Fact, teaching you a new Tlingit word and a little science of the world around you every week. Halibut. Chaat.
Halibut, like all flatfish, are born with an eye on each side of their heads. Before settling onto the ocean floor, one eye migrates over the head to settle next to the other.
Halibut. Chaat.
This is A Matter of Fact, bringing together language and science to tell the story of the land and the ocean. Brought to you by the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and the Sitka Sound Science Center.
Sounds wild.
Hi, I'm Riley Woodford for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
A half dozen chickadees and a few sparrows are darting around a bird feeder, snatching at seeds, when suddenly a scream disrupts the scene. With a flash of blue and a flutter of wings, a pair of Steller's jays descends on the scene, driving off the smaller birds and dominating the feeder.
Steller's jays are well known for their raucous squawking, but they also have melodious singing voices and are talented mimics. Steller's jays can imitate a variety of other birds, including loons and hawks.
The jays are named for George Steller, the German zoologist who accompanied Vitus Bering on his exploration of the Arctic in 1741. Steller discovered the birds in Alaska and was the first European to document the jays, a bird of the American West. Steller's jays range from south-central Alaska down the west coast and the Rocky Mountains south into Mexico. The Steller's jay is the only crested jay west of the Rocky Mountains.
Jays are corvids and are closely related to crows, magpies, and ravens. Corvids are considered to be the most intelligent of all birds. Like crows and ravens, Steller's jays overwinter in Alaska. They mate for life, and pairs will sometimes group up in flocks of a dozen or more birds. In contrast to their often noisy demeanor, Steller's tend to be quiet and secretive around their nests in the spring and early summer. For Sounds Wild, I'm Jane Rudenberg.
And I'm Riley Woodford. Sounds Wild is brought to you by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
And good morning. It's 35 minutes after 8 a.m. You're tuned to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 46 degrees under overcast skies. Out at the Rocky Gutierrez Airport, winds are calm. You can expect rain today in all of our listening communities, and rain is forecast to stay with us through at least this weekend. In Sitka and Port Alexander, highs today should be around 49 and lows tonight around 42 elsewhere in our listening region. Expect highs today in the low to mid 40s and lows tonight in the upper 30s to low 40s. We also have gale warnings for the outside waters and small craft advisories for icy strait and Southern Chatham Strait. Taking a look at the news stories we heard on local news this morning in coverage of last night's Sitka Assembly meeting, we heard how the assembling is struggling with the question of what to do when customers don't pay their utility bills. Also, Sitka's Marijuana Advisory Committee continues to work out its recommendations for Sitka's marijuana industry. You can listen to or read most Raven news stories again on our website, kcaw.org. That's also where you can take a look at the community calendar, which we are going to do right now. Ash Wednesday services in Sitka today, noon and 5:30 p.m. at St. Peter's by the Sea Episcopal Church and 6 p.m. at Sitka Lutheran Church. Sitka Chamber of Commerce luncheon is noon today at the Westmark Sitka, and the topic will be the geotechnical report on the August 18th landslide. Also, Sitka Tribe of Alaska and the Tlingit and Haida TANF program offering 12-week Motherhood is Sacred sessions, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. Wednesdays beginning today at STA's Social Services Office. Space is limited. To sign up or if you'd like more information, you can contact Jean Swanson at 747-3968. Sitka's Port and Harbors Commission is meeting 6 p.m. today at 601 Alice Loop Road. On the agenda, the wait list, rates and fees, the seaplane float, and the master plan and capital improvements adjustments. Again, that's at 6 p.m. A free love letter writing workshop for all is being offered 6 to 8 p.m. this evening at UIS. No writing experience is required. If you'd like more information, call Math Trafton at 747-7723. Coming up today at 6:30 at the Sitka Unitarian Hall, a session on choosing vegetables to grow in Sitka. Teachers Lori Adams, and the class is tailored for beginning gardeners or those who are new to Sitka. You don't have to pre-register, but if you would like more information, contact Jennifer at 747-0520. And coming up at 7 p.m. this evening at Sitka National Historical Park, a presentation entitled From Land to Sea or Sea to Land by Dr. Brennan Carter. There is a lot more going on your community calendar. You can check it out anytime online at kcaw.org. And please, if you are in any of our listening communities, you can go there to post your own event or announcement. Taking a look at the tide tables, coming up at 1:48 this afternoon, we're going to have an 11.4-foot high tide. We're coming off of a 1.3 low that happened at 7:48 this morning. The sun rose at 7:43, and it will set at 4:51 this afternoon for 9 hours and 8 minutes of daylight, and a gain of 4 minutes and 33 seconds over yesterday. It's just about 8:39. Good morning.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. President Obama's climate agenda has hit a roadblock in the U.S. Supreme Court. The High Court has temporarily blocked the EPA from enforcing a new rule that's designed to cut carbon pollution from coal-fired power plants. And for more on this, we're joined by NPR's Scott Horsley. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Tell us what the rule is exactly and why the High Court put it on hold.
It's called the Clean Power Plan, and it's really the centerpiece of President Obama's climate agenda. It's aimed at gradually reshaping the U.S. electricity industry away from coal-fired power plants, which are the number one source of those heat-trapping carbon gases. Now, the EPA finalized the rule last summer, but it has been challenged by more than two dozen states, and late yesterday, on a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court granted those challengers' requests to put the rule on hold, at least until an appeals court can decide whether the EPA was exceeding its authority.